This is Faith Matters on 89.1, Lubbock's Voice of the Arts. Join us for a conversation about faith in everyday life, the trials, the tribulations, and the triumphs. Discussions about how faith matters to you and our community. Only on 89.1, Lubbock's Voice of the Arts. Support for Faith Matters is brought to you by Covenant Health, where faith meets the future of medicine. Now, here are your hosts, Ryan Price and David Cruz.
Welcome to Faith Matters. I'm Ryan Price along with David Cruz, and we are sitting here today with Imam Samir Al-Ta'aba, who is the Imam for the Islamic Society of the South Plains, a friend and a guest back again to Faith Matters, and someone who is a Syrian national, born in Syria, raised there, and has been in the States since 2000. And Imam, so good to have you here, as of course your homeland has been so much in all of our minds and hearts over these last, well, years, but especially these last couple of weeks. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank
Welcome,
you.
Imam. Okay. It's an honor to have you here.
Honor to be with you.
Imam, one of the places I would like for us to begin is for you just to tell us a little bit about what Syria was like before this conflict, the Syria of your childhood, and then also what it is after 30 plus years of presidencies by either the current Assad or his father, which has led to this conflict that we've seen here in the last 2 years.
Yeah. Syria is located now in a hot spot between Iraq, Israel, Lebanon, Palestine. So we always have something going on in Syria. But for the Syrian people, Syria is a very peaceful place. All Syrians, they enjoyed peace and enjoyed mutual relationship with their neighbors. Syria, majority of the Syrians are Muslims, but we have about 20% of Syrians are Christian. We have a small group of Jewish. We have another small different sects and religions in Syria. We never felt in Syria that there is a difference between a Muslim, Christian, or a Jew, or we all live together side by side, work together, socialize together. Me, myself, when I was in the school, I had a lot of friends who were non-Muslim, who mainly were Christian, because our city, we have almost like 15% of our city are Christian. The church is a few minutes away from my house. The mosque is a few minutes away from my house. On Sunday, we see people going to church. On Friday, they see us going to the mosque to pray. We lived beautiful, beautiful life, and we never felt that there is a difference or we had even a problem in the social way.
It must be very sad for you to see, even from the distance that you live now from your homeland, this terrible civil war that has been in the news, but more recently with the use of chemical weapons and so many innocent people have been killed so senselessly. It must be heartbreaking for you.
What's happening in Syria right now, I believe it is like proxy world war. This is what I see it. Because actually, yes, it is civil war, but I see the world is split in Syria right now. Some countries on this side and some other countries on the other side. Some countries taking the regime side, some countries taking the resistance side. And they are fighting each other in Syria. So mainly Syrian people, they are fighting on behalf of other countries and Syria fighting each other, unfortunately. And both sides, they have their supporters. They have the financial support, they have the militant support, they have people who will give them money, or countries who give them money and weapons to fight each other. And sometimes I see some hypocrisy in the world when they call to have peace in Syria and they keep on giving money and weapons to both sides to kill each other. I believe the first step for having peace in Syria to stop any provision of money and weapon to both sides and force both sides to sit on the table. But it looks like that in the media they say we would like peace, but behind the scene they are playing a different game. This is what my personal views of what's happening in Syria, actually.
Imam, yeah. Now that even the United Nations has said that chemical weapons were used, and the United States has said this all along, who in your heart do you believe was responsible for that terrible atrocity?
See, when the civil war happened, I believe anyone participate in that war will use any means to destroy the other side, especially if there are some people, because always there are people who are not ethical and they have no fear of God or have no value of to human beings who will use these destructive weapons.
So let me get this right. Are you saying that it's your understanding that you do not know who on which side used, but there are people on each side who, in your estimation, would be capable of having used weapons?
Okay, the one who own the chemical weapons are the government. We know that they are the one who own the chemical weapons. I think even in the fight, they will use the chemical weapon. I don't see any excuse there for them not to use it. But at the same time, even the resistance after the fight in Syria, they were able to occupy some of these weapons, or they were able to take or some from other sources, or they made them. So I believe any side could use it. And so this is why we need a just and right investigation in this to find out, because no matter who uses it, whether the regime or other people, they should be brought for justice, because this is a criminal action against the humanity, actually, when you are using killing. We see these children, hundreds of children and women and people who were killed suffering from these weapons. Yeah.
When you say they should be brought to justice, what would be particularly, I would be very interested to know from the point of view of the Islamic faith, what would justice look like?
This is considered a crime against humanity. So whoever commit this, he should be brought to justice. And again, when we want to bring them to justice, we have to bring those who committed the crime. Because in the Middle, especially in the Middle East, people are tired of when somebody commit a crime, then the whole people will be punished for this, or the whole people or the whole country will pay the price for this. Like what we have just seen in the last week when a militant action was proposed to be against the Syria. And I know if this will happen, a lot of people, innocent people, will pay the price. And I believe that even thousands of people, of innocent people, will be killed in this. If this will happen, who will pay the price, and more destruction will happen. So I believe that we should have investigation, a just investigation by United Nations, and find who are the people who did this crime and bring them to real justice and right justice. Yeah.
When we come back, Imam, I want to talk more about exactly how you might see that taking place. You are listening to Faith Matters on 89.1 Lubbock's Voice of the Arts.
You're listening to Faith Matters on 89.1 Lubbock's Voice of the Arts with your hosts Ryan Price and David Cruz. Brought to you by Covenant Health, where faith meets the future of medicine.
Welcome back to Faith Matters. I'm Ryan Price along with David Cruz, and we are sitting here in the studio today with Imam Samir Al-Ta'aba, who is the Imam for the Islamic Society of the South Plains and also a Syrian national. And we are discussing with the Imam the current events taking place in his home country of Syria. Imam, as we were discussing in the first segment, the United Nations has just put together an investigation and the reports have come in. UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon has been reluctant to lay the blame completely at the Assad regime's feet, but in my estimation did all but that, saying, I quote, "This is a war crime and the findings are beyond doubt and beyond the pale." However, again, he stopped short of saying he was certain that Assad or members of his regime had done that. Is it your estimation, just as you look at this, that Assad would be capable of the use of that, or do you think it may be perhaps a rogue element within his own regime? Because you've said they're the ones who have these weapons of mass destruction? Yeah. Or could it be someone else? And how are we going to find out?
The government, they have the weapon, and they are capable to use it. And I think they will use it, too, if they want to use it. So nothing will stop them from not using it. Because we are in a war that the government, they know that they have to win. If they don't win, they will be slaughtered and killed. See, this is what's happened. This is the problem in Syria. Both parties that they are fighting each other, they know if they lose, that means they will be gone, they will be killed, they will be destroyed. So this is why they cannot give up. They have to fight until last moment. So if the government, they come to a very difficult situation, yes, they will use any weapon, actually. Yes, yeah. But again, we cannot accuse anyone with or that they use the weapon without evidence. We always to have evidence. I believe they will use it. And I believe even they are a group from the resistance, not all the resistance, are perfect or good, and there are group in the resistance actually, and we see them on the news, who especially those who belong to Al-Qaeda groups. Yes, they might justify anything for them to destroy the or to fight the regime. But I'm saying that using innocent people and using these children in the war, or to get some credit, or to show that the other side is bad, this is a crime by itself, actually. These children are innocent people. So we call for a just investigation that will show who did use this this weapon. Because when we are in a civil war, I believe any party could use anything to win. And this is what I believe in. And let me mention something that I'm as an imam, normally I don't take a side. Always I see the position of the imam just to work for peace among those who fight each other, and to call for justice for those who are the oppressors, the murderers. We have to call for they should be brought from any side, whether from the regime side or resistance side. They should be brought to justice. And after they should be brought to justice, we have to call for peace among both parties.
Imam, let me ask a question that I think our listeners would ponder and wonder about. Because this has been in the news, of course, we know, for weeks now. And we've all struggled to understand it. So the question comes from a place of wanting to understand. You mentioned, or you used the expression earlier, a proxy war. So when I heard you say that, I thought immediately, well, on one side, if we could characterize it this way, the United States, on the other side, Russia, and then the other smaller players in this conflict, namely Iran, and also you mentioned Al-Qaeda. So by proxy war, I think you mean that Syria is kind of caught in the middle, or mm-hmm. it's being exploited so that these sides can wage a war against each other without really having to go directly to war against each other, but indirectly through Syria.
Yes,
right?
That's okay. Yes, this is so exactly what's happening in Syria.
All right, so here's what I think our listeners would, and myself included, to understand. We look at the Middle East, and we even have an expression that says it's a matchbox. It's inflammatory. It has a history of centuries of tribal conflicts and even religious conflicts. And of course, here we try to condense everything in terms we can understand, sometimes black and white. But there's a lot of gray in there. What has led, help us understand this war. And if it is a proxy war, help us to see it and to understand it.
Yeah.
What are the divisions that have created and fueled this terrible conflict?
Yeah. Again, what I'm saying is my personal views and understanding of the situation. See, what happened in Syria when the Arabic Spring started in Tunisia, then went to Egypt, then Libya, then came to Syria. The way that started in Syria, that when some children, they wrote some statement on the wall against the regime. And in Syria, we were ruled by a dictator. We don't have elections, or we don't have, yes. So, and this is in Syria, this is forbidden. You cannot say any statement against the president or, yeah. So they brought these children, the police took the children, or the security agents, they took the children, and they punished them, they tortured them. When the family of the children, they went, and actually we see this in Syria. This happened in Syria. So when the family, they went there to take their children out of the jail, even these security agent, they humiliated the family. When they humiliated the family, they used to, they belonged to a tribe. Then the whole tribe, they got upset and they protested. And this is the spark of the how it started. And after that, it's a spread to another city. They had did the same protest, like, how come you humiliate these people? You cannot humiliate. Actually, this was stored in the hearts from before, because we see this type of humiliation in Syria a lot from the security agents and the government to people. They don't treat them with respect.
No, they suppress human
yeah,
rights.
Yeah, they depress human rights. Yeah, they did that. And people, they are keeping this within themselves until the spark and the time came, so they are like explode. Yeah. And after that, when it started like this, Syria has a lot of enemies, actually. So those, they said, okay, this is a good advantage. This is a good time to take advantage of this. We know Syria is a big ally of Iran. And Iran has a lot of enemies and countries, especially in the Arabic world, like Saudi Arabia, Emirates. Those are the enemy of Iran. So when this happened, so Saudi Arabia said, let us take, and other country, maybe they said, let us take this advantage of this point, so let us support the resistance so we can get rid of the regime and bring another regime that who are not aligned with Iran. So they just gave money and weapon to the resistance. And everyone who hate Iran, especially Iran, they start giving, supporting the resistance. And for those who are with the Iranian side, like Russia or China or India, whatever, they took the regime side. They start supporting the regime, and it became like what happened right now.
This is outstanding. We so much appreciate you being on this show with us. When we come back, I want to ask explicitly about Christians living in the Middle East and what you see the prospect is for that minority there. When we come back, you're listening to Faith Matters on 89.1 Lubbock's Voice of the Arts.
This is Faith Matters on 89.1 Lubbock's Voice of the Arts, hosted by Ryan Price and David Cruz, and brought to you by Covenant Health, where faith meets the future of medicine.
Welcome back to Faith Matters. I'm Ryan Price along with David Cruz, and we are sitting here today in the studio with Samir Altaaba, who is the imam for the Islamic Society of South Plains and also a Syrian national. And we have been talking today about your homeland, Imam, and we so much appreciate you being with us. And before the break, we were talking about President al-Assad. I don't know if you had the chance to watch the interview that Charlie Rose did with Assad just last, I think it aired last Monday. Seemed to me to be so very shrewd and someone who knows how to play politics. And the question I have for you is, at the late hour, just before it appeared as though America might intervene, a deal was brokered. Do you think Assad will be forthcoming with what is being asked of him by the entire international community, or do you think the regime plus Russia will continue to simply drag their feet?
Yes, see, Russia, they want the regime to stay. And not only Russia, there are many other countries that they want the regime to stay. So I believe that they will keep on supporting Assad until the last moment, because Assad is the only Russian ally in the Middle East right now, actually. So they want to keep him over there. And they will try to play this role over there and to make sure that they follow any methods. I don't think they will go to a militant method. Russia, they are not ready to involve in fights in Syria and on behalf of Syria. But Assad is he is in a lot of things that he have done. He is smart. He knows what to do, actually. Not only him, and he has from a lot of assistance from his father time, who gave him the advice. Yeah, and many times they gave him even the wrong advice, actually. And this what part of this advice led Syria to this problem.
One of the things he kept on saying in that interview with Charlie Rose is, I have the favor of the people. The people are with me. If the people were not with me, then I would step down. Is that true?
That's what he believes, actually. He believes that everyone likes him. Everyone wants him. This is what the people who are surrounding him, they convey this message to him, that people, they want you. People, like al-Qaddafi said before, when he was told by somebody, he said, why don't you just step down and give a chance to another person to lead? He said, if I step down, then all Libyans, they will come to the street. They want me back. So this way I'm not stepping down, because they cannot live with me. And this is what Assad believe, actually. He believes that.
Is there a way to prove that, though, by a free election?
Okay. We said if we could have a free election, so then the free election will determine whether this is right or wrong. He could. I don't want to say he is wrong. I say until this now, he has a lot of supporters in Syria, Assad. If he does not have supporters in Syria, he won't stay for 2 years, more than 2 years of war, fighting. So because he has big supporters in Syria. There are a lot of people who like him, and there are a lot of people who are against him. But how would you know? We will know through the election. Election will determine whether really people, the Syrian, they want you or they don't want you. And anyway, my personal opinion, after all of this killing and destruction in Syria, I don't see even Assad should continue and presidency, because this destruction, those who were killed, how can they accept to see Assad president there? They cannot, even if we come to some peaceful solutions. But I don't think people will accept to see Assad in power anymore. So,
Imam, I want to go back to something you said in the previous segment. You said that even trying to bring about justice to those who have perpetrated these evil crimes against humanity, that the difficulty is that a military strike, for example, that is trying to punish those who did these terrible crimes, that they wind up hurting the innocent. Is there ever, in your mind, a situation where a military strike would help bring about a fair resolution, not an ideal resolution, because we know that in an imperfect world, in this situation that is very complicated, may not be likely to happen. But for the sake of those of us who are very concerned about the possibility of a military intervention, we don't know yet what will happen, but would you rule it out entirely as something that would be, under any circumstance, not viable?
Yeah. Me, myself, I don't believe in a military strike solution, because through what we have seen in Iraq, Afghanistan, I believe that military intervene or intervention in countries is not going to bring solution. It will bring, especially for this advanced weapon, that one missile will destroy the whole city. So I don't believe this will be a solution. Why? For another reason. Now, the Syrian army, they don't have bases right now. They are in the cities they are fighting. So when you say that I want to strike the Syrian army, where are the Syrian army? They are in the cities, and cities are full with people. So when you strike a building that belongs to the army, that means you are going to destroy how many buildings next to it and how many innocent people will be killed. We are sad for the 1,500 people were killed and in this evil attack, chemical attack. But see, I don't want to see another 10,000 people, innocent people, were killed because of the strike. See, we want to save life. We don't want to kill more people to end this. So the only solution, and they admitted this many times, America, Russia, the whole world, that we only the peaceful solution, political solution is the only solution for Syria. If the political solution is the only solution, so why we don't work on the political solution? Why we'll bring the militants solution? Maybe if the Syrian army, they have their own bases, they are away from the cities, okay, this is a different story. But now the whole army is in the city. All tanks are in the cities.
Seems to me like a diplomatic solution is going to have to be found either before or after,
or after a military
intervention, preferably before. Final question from me, Imam, something I alluded to earlier. As a Christian, many Western Christians are very concerned about Christians in the Middle East now. And Reza Aslan, who is a Muslim best-selling writer, just published an article on September 11th, ironically, in the journal Foreign Affairs, where he says what is taking place in the Middle East is a regional religious cleansing that will soon prove to be a historic disaster for Christians and Muslims alike. And what he's talking about is the number of Christians who are being oppressed, not only in places like Syria, most recently in a small town that was invaded by the al-Nusra Front, but then also in Egypt. Respond to that.
I agree with him, actually. And he is right. And this is the only way, actually, we could have to resolve the problem over there. Him and many other writers, they wrote good things about what's happening there, and I could see this is one of the way of the solution, actually.
Do imams like you, moderate peace-seeking, people who have a vision of Christians and Muslims living together in close proximity and befriending one another, do they have a voice in the Middle East?
They do have, but unfortunately all of the voice of the extremist people are more heard, actually, and have more effective. But I believe eventually the moderate people, they will rule over everything. Yeah, that's what my faith and belief is.
I sure hope so.
It's been a wonderful opportunity to understand more deeply a very complex reality. And I know Ryan and I both are very grateful to you, Imam.
We truly are thankful for your friendship and your willingness to come on and speak openly and honestly.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You can catch this program and other interviews, previous interview with the Imam and other episodes of Faith Matters on our website at ktz.org. You've been listening to Faith Matters on 89.1 Lubbock's Voice of the Arts.